Quarter to seven on breakfast. Time to have a look at the newspapers with James Carlton. Hello, James.
Good morning, Fran. Well, we have the situation of the High Court ruling on the James Ashby matter, and the Sydney Morning Herald says the Gillard government is considering an inquiry, maybe even legal action, to delve into coalition links with former Peter Slipper staffer James Ashby. His explosive sexual harassment claim thrown out by the federal court. The judge says it was a political attack, an abuse of process in his scathing ruling. He found James Ashby sued former Speaker Peter Slipper for the purpose of causing significant public, reputational and political damage to Mr. Slipper, and for advancing the interests of the Liberal National Party. Now we have Labor frontbencher Mark Dreyfus saying the judgment, which also named the Howard government minister Mal Brough, he says the judgment showed, this is Dreyfus, says the judgment showed the coalition had been involved in an attempt to overthrow the government by sinister anti-democratic means. And the Labor Party wants Mal Brough disendorsed as the LNP candidate in Peter Slipper's own seat, Fisher. The Daily Telegraph in Sydney doesn't cover this story until page 17, which makes it less prominent than a story they have about a dog that rides a motorbike. Though their lead story is entirely appropriate for front page attention, and that's the funeral of police detective inspector Bryson Anderson. "I'll miss you, Dad," is the headline. Thousands of police standing to attention around St. Patrick's Cathedral, a testament to the sacrifice of their slain colleague, detective inspector Bryson Anderson. But the inconsolable 10-year-old boy sitting in the front of the hearse, well, that was testament to the family's devastating loss. Kane Anderson was so brave, the paper says, clutching his bag of jelly beans. The Sydney Morning Herald calls his dad an officer and a gentleman. Stabbed in the neck, his final moments, the father of three still went to help a fellow officer under attack. The Financial Review, pardon me, Treasury to Swan, dump the surplus plan. The Federal Treasury is advising the government to dump its commitment to a budget surplus as a slump in growth poses a threat to revenue. The government's ordered bureaucrats to search for new savings if they can find them, and that could be for a mini-budget early next year. But there's little optimism, the Laura Tingle piece says, that the savings will be found. The Canberra Times, they've got an IT expert saying the entire defence workforce, soldiers, reservists and public servants, should erase all trace of themselves online to protect Australia against cyber warfare. It's Mark Gregory from RMIT. He says Facebook, Twitter, Google and others, they're a goldmine that enemies will use against the military. And last month, there was the attack on the Uni of New South Wales database at the Australian Defence Force Academy, and that was a devastating blow for the next generation of military leaders, says the piece. A lone hacker stealing the personal details of thousands of ADFA students. The raid carried out for fun, but one can imagine, though, if the motives are more sinister, more malicious, it could be a very big problem. The Melbourne Age. Thousands of Victorian builders and buildings, and the builders responsible for them, could face rigorous audits after the Ombudsman found the industry regulator in Victoria rife with maladministration, cronyism, the misuse of public funds. It's a devastating report on the Victorian Building Commission and associated statutory bodies from the Ombudsman. He found that they spend $1.5 million in public funds on food, alcohol and entertainment and overseas travel. As the cartoon from Tandberg, they have the building inspector signing the restaurant receipt on his credit card, but he says, "Oh, I'll sign the building license stuff when I get back to the office." We have Julian Assange as well in the papers. He's confirming he intends to start a WikiLeaks party and run for the Senate in either New South Wales or Victoria. He's been confined, of course, to the Ecuadorian embassy in London since June to avoid extradition to Sweden, or then possibly to the United States. He spoke last night with Philip Adams, saying he's now optimistic those sexual assault allegations against him will be dropped, though he says the US is still building a case against him. And this is what he says about his predicament inside the Ecuadorian embassy.
"The position here is difficult. On the other hand, I must understand that the position faced by the organisation and its supporters is also difficult, and there are bigger interests at play. And the position I have here means that we're able to effectively focus some attention on what the organisation is going through, but also on the principles that we believe in. So I don't see my situation here as altogether unhelpful. The big threat that I personally face is the ongoing US investigation. as of December last year, the FBI portion of that alone, and there are over a dozen U.S. agencies involved, has come out in open court that is more than 42,135 pages so far, and less than 9,000 of those relate to the Bradley Manning case. The rest are other aspects of my activities and the organization's activities. We've discovered a tender that was put out by the Department of Justice. It's some great work done by our people looking at these little details. The tender put out this year for a WikiLeaks case management system of $1 to $2 million. So that's what they're spending just on a computer system to manage the case notes for the prosecution to come. On September 28th, the Pentagon formally renewed its threats to us through its spokesperson to ABC News, saying that our publications were an ongoing crime, an ongoing illegal activity. The very heart of the organization, its ongoing existence, they say, is a continuous crime.
That's WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange speaking to Philip Adams last night on Late Night Live here on RN. He's, of course, speaking from within the Ecuadorian embassy where he's been holed up since June.